Okay, if you'll please take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. We're in Matthew chapter 15 this morning and verses 21 through 28. Our message series is called Miracles and Controversy. And so far in this series on Matthew chapters 14 through 17, so far we've looked at some miracles and we've looked at some controversy. But today, you know what? We get both of them today, okay? Today's passage presents both a miracle and a controversy, or perhaps we should say a controversial miracle. A controversial miracle. This miracle, as you're going to see, it's controversial not because of what Jesus did, okay, but rather because of whom he did it for. You see, up to this time, Jesus' miracles have mostly focused on his own people. But in the miracle we're going to look at today, this is a miracle Jesus does for a Canaanite woman. For a person who is outside of the Jewish faith. And in doing so, Jesus gives us a preview of his wider ministry to come. Because Jesus is not just a Savior for the Jewish people, he is a Savior for all. So we're in Matthew chapter 15. We're going to look at verses 21 through 28. Will you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Matthew 15, beginning at verse 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. Jesus replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said. "But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This is the word of God. Please join me in prayer. Dear God, speak to us now through your word. Holy Spirit, you've inspired the record of this event that took place in history. You've inspired these words for us so that we can read and learn and help us to understand how to apply these words now to our lives today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Jesus was a Jew. He was born in the Jewish homeland. He was raised in the Jewish faith. He studied the Jewish scriptures. He worshiped in the Jewish synagogues. He prayed to the Jewish God. He observed Jewish holidays and traditions. He had Jewish parents, Jewish grandparents, Jewish aunts, uncles, and cousins. But Jesus was not only a Jew, he was also the Jewish Messiah. He was the one that God sent into the world to redeem his people. He was the one who was prophesied and spoken about in the Old Testament scriptures. He was the one who came in fulfillment of God's promise to his people. He was the Jewish Messiah, born as a Jew, raised as a Jew, ministering among the Jews. In fact, there was so much Jewishness about Jesus that it would have been easy for some people to think that Jesus was meant only for the Jews. And in fact, the early church was mainly composed of Jewish believers. And those Jewish believers actually struggled with the idea that Jesus might be for the Gentiles as well. Gentiles are those who are not Jews. That seems strange to us today, right? Because nowadays it's backwards of that, right? It's all reversed. Nowadays, most believers are not Jewish. We're mostly Gentiles. And it's the Jews who have a hard time believing that Jesus is meant for them. But one of the main messages of the Bible is that Jesus is a Savior for all, for both Jews and non-Jews. This was prophesied in the Old Testament. It was fulfilled in the church, and it was revealed at key moments in Jesus' ministry. Today's passage, the one that we've just read and that we're looking at, this is one of those moments. Now, we've seen hints of this already in the Gospel of Matthew. Remember, we started all the way back in Matthew chapter 1. We've been working our way forward. Let's do a little review here. For example, Matthew chapter 1 begins with Jesus' genealogy. Guess who's in the genealogy? Ruth. Ruth. Was Ruth a Jew? No, she was a Gentile. She was a Moabite. Then you go to Matthew chapter 2, records the visit of the Magi to Jesus after his birth. Were the Magi Jews? No, they came most likely from Persia. And then in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus begins his ministry in Galilee, also known as Galilee of the Gentiles. And then Matthew tells us that large crowds from the Decapolis followed. What's the Decapolis? 10 cities in Galilee that were predominantly Gentile. And then you go to Matthew chapter 8, where Jesus healed the servant of the Roman centurion. He wasn't a Jew, he was Roman. And yet Jesus said he'd not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Later in the same chapter, Jesus heals 2 demon-possessed men, both of whom were likely Gentiles. So we've seen hints of this already throughout the gospel, right? But then you get to Matthew chapter 10. Remember Matthew chapter 10? Jesus sends his disciples out on mission, and he gives them the following instructions. He says this, Matthew 10, verses 5 and 6. He says, do not go among the Gentiles. He says, do not go among the Gentiles. Do not enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, we're going to talk about why Jesus gave these instructions a little later in the message. But for right now, I just want you to understand the context of our passage today. The context is this. Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, and his mission at this time was to the Jewish people. And it's within that context now that Jesus encounters the Canaanite woman and performs this miracle for her daughter. So let's take a closer look at the passage together now. There is an outline in your worship guide this morning. If you'd like to take that outline to follow along or jot down some notes. But we begin with the woman's request in verses 21 and 22. Here we go. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Well, this incident takes place, Matthew tells us, the region of Tyre and Sidon. Tyre was a coastal city located in Phoenicia. That's modern-day Lebanon. If you're trying to picture where this is at, it's about 35 miles northwest of the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus is up in Tyre and Sidon. Folks, this is very unusual. Jesus spent most of his time ministering in Israel. And yet, from time to time, we find him going through Samaria and ministering in some non-Jewish regions. But this trip to Tyre and Sidon and Phoenicia, this is the farthest north that Jesus traveled that we have on record. I mean, maybe he traveled further, but as far as his recorded journey, this is as far as he goes. He's way up there in Gentile territory. And you go, well, why did he do that? Why did he leave Israel to go to Tyre? Perhaps he needed to get away and get some rest. Perhaps he wanted to spend some time teaching his disciples. His disciples are there. Maybe this was a little retreat for them. Perhaps he came specifically to minister to this Canaanite woman and her daughter. But whatever the reason, this woman comes to him seeking his help. She has a little girl who's possessed by a demon. I can't even imagine. Can you imagine having a little daughter demon possessed? We've talked about evil spirits before. We've talked about the reality of demon possession, both in Jesus' time, in our day as well. I don't know how it came about that a little girl would be possessed by a demon, but somehow her mother had heard about Jesus. She'd heard about the works Jesus was doing, and she believed that he could help her daughter. So she comes to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." And that phrase, Son of David, that's a title for the Messiah. And so she is recognizing Jesus as the Jewish Messiah here. All well and good, but who's she? She's a Canaanite woman. It means she's not a Jew. She's a Gentile. She was a non-Jewish woman living in a non-Jewish land that did not worship the Jewish God. And now she comes to this Jewish miracle worker, recognizing him as the Jewish Messiah and begging him to drive this demon out of her daughter. That's the context of the woman's request. And knowing this context is essential for us to understand the following exchange now that takes place with Jesus. And the predominant element in her exchange with Jesus is her faith. So that's what we want to look at next. We've seen the woman's request. Now we want to look at her faith. And we see her faith demonstrated in two primary ways. First, we see her faith demonstrated as she perseveres through various obstacles. Look at verses 23 through 25 now. It says, Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away. She keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. Look at all the obstacles here. First, she faces the obstacle of Jesus' silence. Matthew tells us Jesus did not answer a word. Her daughter is demon-possessed. She comes to Jesus crying for mercy, and Jesus doesn't even answer her. He ignores her cries. He does not say a single word in response. That's a pretty big obstacle. Then next, she faces the obstacle of the disciples. The disciples come to Jesus and say, "Will you get rid of her? Will you send her away? She just keeps crying out after us." You see, to the disciples, she was just a bother. She was just a nuisance, someone to get rid of. And then she faces the biggest obstacle of all. Because when Jesus finally does answer, his response is devastating. He tells her, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." Jesus is basically saying, "You are not a Jew, and therefore I cannot help you." You notice the woman still doesn't give up. She comes, she kneels before him. "Lord, help me," she said. So that's the first way we see this woman's faith in the message, perseverance. She perseveres through all of the obstacles. And then the second way we see her faith is her belief. She believes that Jesus is a Savior for all. Look at verses 26 and 27 now. Jesus replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Now, Jesus' response here catches us off guard, doesn't it? It seems a bit harsh at first. So we need to understand two things here. We need to understand, first of all, what Jesus meant by what he said. What did he mean? And then we need to understand why he said it the way he did. So first of all, what Jesus meant is this. It goes back to our context, right? Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. At this point, his ministry was primarily to whom? To the Jews. God's plan of salvation way back in the Old Testament, right, was to choose a people through whom the promises of salvation would come. and from whom the promised Savior would come. That was the people of Israel. It was essential that Jesus came as a Jew to the Jews, because otherwise he would not be fulfilling his role as the Messiah. But that does not mean that he was only a Savior for the Jews. It just means that he came to the Jews first in order to fulfill God's plan of salvation eventually for all people from all nations everywhere. Salvation came first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul says this, Romans 1:16. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. So, here's Jesus in a non-Jewish land, petitioned by a non-Jewish woman at a time when he has not yet fulfilled his Jewish mission. And so he tells her that this is not yet the time for him to minister to the Gentiles. So that's what Jesus meant, right? We looked at the what. That's what Jesus meant by what he said. Now let's look at why he says it in the way that he does, okay? Jesus uses a word picture, right? He uses a word picture of children sitting around a table eating their daily bread. Remember, Jesus often used parables and illustrations, and here he makes a very simple point. He says, when you sit your kids down to dinner and you put your food in front of them, you don't take it away from them and just suddenly feed it to the dogs until they've had their food. You let the children eat all that they need first. Now, this statement, this word picture, seems a little harsh at first, doesn't it? You know, who are the children in this illustration? That's the Jewish people. Who are the dogs? That's the Gentiles. And that includes this woman and her daughter. You know, he's kind of like calling them dogs. And you go, well, is that nice? Are you supposed to call people dogs? And you know, it's kind of an insult in our culture if you call it. Well, it was in their culture too. In fact, the Jewish people often referred to Gentiles as dogs, and it was not meant as a compliment at all. Well, if Jesus was being harsh here, he certainly had his reasons. Perhaps he was testing this woman's faith to see how she would respond. But I also want you to know that his words that he uses here, they don't come across quite as harsh in the original language as they do in our English language. Instead of using the normal word for dogs, and you know, when you refer to someone as a dog, you're thinking of the wild dogs that roamed outside and all of that. He doesn't use that normal word for dogs. He uses a word that refers to smaller dogs, puppies. You know, an indoor house pet, someone that you would have a relationship to, you know, an animal that you would have affection for. He's not talking about the wild dogs outside. Jesus used this image to explain why he could not just simply say yes to this woman's request to heal her daughter. Remember, every time Jesus healed other places, as soon as he healed someone, everybody came, right? So he heals her daughter, all the Gentiles are going to come running in. No, he says his ministry was focused on the Jewish nation at this time, not the Gentiles. Now, once again, I love this woman. You have got to admire this woman and her perseverance, because she still doesn't give up here. In fact, she uses Jesus' own word picture. She takes his picture that he's just used to reframe her request. Yes, Lord, she says. She goes, okay, I'm agreeing with you, but you know, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I know, Jesus, you can't do it, but can you throw some crumbs my way? My daughter needs help. This is such a remarkable answer. First of all, it shows that she understood Jesus' words. Remember, a lot of times people didn't get Jesus' parables. Jesus would tell a parable and people would just be scratching their heads. They didn't get it. She got it, right? She understood that Jesus' mission was to the Jews. She affirmed Jesus' mission to the Jews. She said, yes, Lord. But then she also asked for a special allowance for her daughter. And that's the second reason why her answer is so remarkable. Because here she is, a Gentile woman. She recognizes that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, but she still believes that Jesus is a Savior for all. In effect, this is what she's saying. She's saying, I understand it. I get it. Your mission is to your own people at this time. I don't expect you to abandon that mission and begin a whole new mission to the Gentiles. But surely you can just heal my daughter. Just heal my daughter. Even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And so finally we come to Jesus' response. Look at verse 28. Then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. How does Jesus respond? First, he commends her for her reply. Why does Jesus commend her? Because this woman showed remarkable understanding of Jesus' mission. She showed remarkable faith in Jesus' power to work a miracle for her daughter. She showed remarkable faith in Jesus' character to help her, a Gentile woman. She showed remarkable perseverance and faith to keep asking Jesus even after he had basically just told her no. See, all of that, all of those things were wrapped up in her wise, trusting, and humble reply. And so Jesus commends her for her faith. That's his first response. And then Jesus shows his great power by casting the demon out of the girl from a distance. This is one of only a few instances in the gospel where Jesus heals or performs a miracle from a distance. What an amazing display of Jesus' power. Jesus is not limited by time or distance or circumstances. He is the all-powerful Son of the all-powerful God, and nothing is too difficult for him. Matthew says the woman's daughter was healed from that very hour. So what are some of the applications of this passage for us today? Let me close by sharing with you three applications. The first is our primary application. It's the title of today's message. Jesus is a Savior for all. He's a Savior for all. Yes, he came primarily to his own people, but that was to fulfill the Old Testament promises. It was prophesied in the Old Testament God would use the nation of Israel to bring salvation to the nations. God fulfilled that promise by sending his son Jesus into the world through the nation Israel as the Jewish Messiah. But now that Jesus has completed his mission by dying for our sins and rising from the dead, now he is a Savior for all people everywhere. And that's why he told his disciples after he rose from the dead and before he returned to heaven, Matthew 28, the Great Commission, he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Savior for all. And so as you walk through your week this week, look around at all the people that God has placed in your life. Do they know Christ? Have they experienced God's salvation? You see, Jesus is a Savior for all who will put their trust in him. He is a Savior for young people and old, religious and non-religious, students, businessmen, doctors, nurses, truck drivers, factory workers, friends, neighbors, relatives. The Bible says all have sinned, therefore all need a Savior. And so that's part of the message of our passage today, Jesus meeting with this Canaanite woman. Jesus is a Savior for all, and so we need to share the gospel message, the saving message, with as many people as possible. Jesus is a Savior for all. Secondly, Jesus commends faith. And we've seen this a number of times, haven't we, in the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus works miracles in response to faith. We've also seen God hold back his power sometimes due to a lack of faith. And so like the Canaanite woman, we must come to God, trusting his character and believing his power. And like the Canaanite woman, we must persevere. Perseverance is part of faith. You know, when you don't see an answer to your prayers right away, don't get discouraged. But persevere. Persevere in faith. You know, in the long run, we must trust God's answers to our prayers, whatever they may be. It may not be the answer we wanted, right? But we may be confident that Jesus always commends faith. And he often works miracles in response to faith. And then our third application is simply this: Jesus can do all things. He's not limited by our earthly circumstances. Even when he was here on earth in his physical body, he could still heal people or cast out demons from a distance. Now, if he could do that when he was here in his physical body, how much more can he do all things now that he has ascended to heaven and sits on the throne at the right hand of God? And so no matter how bad your situation, no matter how desperate your circumstances, bring it all to God in prayer through Jesus, his Son, because nothing is impossible with God. Come in faith, trusting God's character, believing his power to do all things. Know that Jesus is a Savior for all, that Jesus commends faith, that Jesus can do all things. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your word this morning. What a beautiful passage. Thank you for reaching out and healing this woman's daughter. Oh Lord, I know she was grateful to you for the rest of her life. Lord Jesus, you our Lord of all, you are a Savior for all. Lord, we have many people in our lives who don't know you. Lord, help us to share the gospel with them. Help us to look for ways to share. I'm sure there are people in our lives we think, oh, they're not interested. They wouldn't want to trust Jesus. Lord, how do we know? You're a Savior for all. Lord, help us just to share the gospel and let your Spirit do your work in their lives and trust that to you. Lord, help us to be people of faith. You commend faith. Help us to persevere. Help us to believe the gospel. And Lord, we just pray that as we come to you believing, that we will see your wonderful, amazing power. You are able to do far beyond, above and beyond all that we can ask or imagine. Your power, which is at work within us through your Holy Spirit. Help us to be people of prayer. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.